podcast. Today we are diving into a very fun topic, periods. We are going to talk all about periods, which is really fun. And something that we like to say is that we should normalize periods because periods are normal. So these conversations typically talk to our kids when they're fairly young about periods, because these curious little minds like to ask their moms lots of questions. So we don't necessarily say you have to talk about periods just to prepare them, you know, when they're super young. It's just that when they are super young, that is when they find a tampon in mom's purse, or they walk into mom in the bathroom, or they find a pad or whatever. That's when their curious little minds start asking questions. And so that is where we are going to begin. It's the ages when kids start asking questions.
Exactly. And we know, as a mom of young children, you have zero privacy.
Right.
And your purse is an open space for the world. And so are all the drawers in your bathroom. So that's probably when your first conversations will happen, because they have found something that they're not familiar with. And so don't be shocked or surprised. This is just their normal curiosity. And we want to start with just a very simple conversation. All things birds and bees means that we really start with just the smallest, most simple answer at the youngest ages. And then the conversations grow from there. So let's say somebody dumps your purse out and they pick up a tampon and say, "So, mom, what's this?"
So what we don't want to do is say, "Give that back to me," or "Give that away," or "Oh my gosh," or whatever your instinct is. And again, like we've said over and over again, with lots of different conversations, our gut reaction might be to pull back or to react kind of in a big way. But ultimately what that can do is just shut down communication and create shame and let our young kids, the message our young kids are receiving is like, "Ooh, that's bad," or, "Oh, I shouldn't talk about that," or, "Don't touch that," or whatever. So I think step one is to kind of get some self-control as moms on our gut reaction, and replace it with an age-appropriate, calm, medical, matter-of-fact response. So when they're really little, you can say, "Oh, that's just a Band-Aid for mommies. Let's put it back in my purse," and go from there. Now, are some kids going to ask a lot of questions? Sure. Are some kids going to be like, "Okay, cool, I like Band-Aids"? Yeah. And then move on. And so I think as the mom, we can, the calmer we can remain, I think the better these conversations go. And again, sometimes this is like maybe faking it till you make it. You might be really panicked or sweating inside, but if we can just remain calm, our kids will realize, "Oh, okay, big whoop. Like, that's the Band-Aid for moms." But then, you know, some curious little cats might want to say, "Well, how come?" or "Why?" And then I think from there, the conversations can build.
Exactly. And we don't want them to be confused either. If they open it and say, "This doesn't look like a Band-Aid," or, you know, if they've had time to kind of examine all this, they would say, why do you need this Band-Aid?" It's actually what we want to do is be sure that we know in our minds, we're not telling them anything bad. So where do some of these bad feelings come from? It's because we feel like we're addressing a more adult subject than what they're ready for. But if we can just break it down into easy conversations, then it's not that big of a deal. So you know, "What kind of a Band-Aid? Why does mommy need this?" Then you're going to start to answer a few more questions. So you have to let them know that sometimes blood comes out of mommy. "I know that sounds unusual," or, "I know that sounds strange, but I need a way to keep that blood from getting on my clothes. And actually, I'm not injured. I didn't cut myself. It's just part of being a mommy." You can still leave part of that a mystery. You do not have to have, you know, the whole ovulation, menstruation conversation with your children, but
yeah. you don't have to dive into like the lining of the uterine walls.
No. But you can say, you can talk about the blood, especially if they've walked in and maybe seen some of it there, that will upset them. So let them know that it's not a cut, you weren't injured, and actually it's not even a one-time thing. This is something that happens monthly. It's part of being a mommy, or you can even say it's part of being a grown woman if you want to be more accurate. So,
and that's something too, I think, just to help normalize, like, "Oh, you know, this is," I think I'm a big proponent of tone of voice. I think your tone of voice mm-hmm. can really help the brevity of these conversations, you know, to say, "Oh, you know, sweetheart, it's called a period. Mommy's bleed once a month. This is like a Band-Aid, you know, to help, keep the blood away, or to clean up the blood." And so I think just kind of letting it know, "Oh, mommies bleed once a month. This is like a Band-Aid for moms. And then kind of beep up, move along. But again, I think you want to let them know this happens once a month. And I think when kids are really young, this kind of reminds me sometimes of like explaining birth to kids. When we explain birth, any reaction our young child has, besides maybe like being grossed out, is like, is my mommy okay? I think that's that's like kind of a level of concern that kids are focused on. And so, you know, like they're looking at their mom and thinking, oh, my mom's bleeding and she must be hurt, and say, oh, you know what? This is called a period. Mommy's bleed once a month. You know, it's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt. That could be a lie if it needs to be. I don't know your personal history, but you know, like, oh, it doesn't hurt. It's just, you know, mommy's bleed once a month. And so short and sweet, let them know that you are not in any pain. And that this is very normal.
That's right. We just want them to know it's normal. So we want our voice to sound normal, right, and we want it to be sort of just a normal matter of fact answer. So that's really how all this starts, is that you just want to be ready. You want to actually, it might even be helpful. I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes it's helpful just to hear myself say it once so that I can say, yeah, that sounded okay.
Right.
So,
you know, just makes perfect.
Exactly. So just mull it over in your mind. What would I say if my child pulls this out of my purse and asks me about it? How am I going to react to that? So,
and I think something that's important too, is I know we have a lot of moms reach out to us sometimes and say, okay, my daughter's 8 or 9. And we haven't talked about periods yet. Should we introduce that? And I think the answer is yes, you should. And ultimately, like, we're jumping ahead real quick to puberty, which we're not going to land on right now, but my mind's bouncing. So just keep up.
That's okay.
Yeah. Keep up. But the thought is, you don't want your child to just hear about periods right before they have theirs. You know, that's a lot of information and kind of scary, because it's like impending doom. You know, it's like, hey, this is what it is, and it's about to happen to you. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot. So what we want to do is to have, you know, moms listening today on this podcast hopefully have younger children. And so if you back this conversation up years and years ahead of time, it doesn't seem as alarming or as scary as if you just start this conversation at 12, you know, saying, hey, this is about to happen. But if this is something they just have grown up always knowing about, then that really takes away some of this fear or mystery, or like the heaviness of this, of like, oh yeah, I've always known about this. And so that is another perk, I think, of having these conversations and helping normalize this topic. And again, this is not something you have to talk about every day or anything crazy like that. But just let them know, oh, this is what a period is. Moms have periods. A tampon, a pad is like a Band-Aid. And then, what Mary Flo was saying, of just like these conversations build. So a year or two goes by, it comes up again, then you can talk about eggs, you know, and like, Phil, you do a good job explaining this part, Mary Flo.
Well, I do think if there are kids that just want more details, and there's nothing, it's just, think of it as almost the same as talking about birth. There's just this process that happens, and that inside of a woman, there are eggs, and they are kept in ovaries. And so but once a month, an egg leaves the ovary and joins itself to the wall of the uterus. And if that egg is fertilized by a seed, then a baby grows. If it's not, the egg goes away along with the lining of the uterus. So once a month, the lining of the uterus leaves the mommy's body, goes out that special opening between her legs called the vagina. And that's what this is. That's what this bloody substance is. It's the lining of the uterus. Now, none of that sounds very fun.
I was going to say, wow, you did a really good job explaining.
I'm just saying, it's sort of, if you can just go back to being really kind of technical about it and just say, okay, this is a process, but the good news is that it's the process that was designed so that a woman can bear a child. So even though it's like, it sounds complicated, it's not as complicated as it is to explain it to you, but you don't feel the egg come out, you're not sure it's there, but then when the lining of the uterus leaves, then you know that it's gone. So it's something that can sound overwhelming. So if they say, oh, well, then forget it, I'm never doing that. Well, actually, if you're a girl, you will do this. And it's okay. It's okay. And honestly, it is one of those things that if you stop and think about how you're born with all those eggs and this process happens, And you don't have to be afraid of it. And that's what I want to do, is help girls as they're growing up, not be so afraid of it, because every woman that's, you know, had a period knows that you can survive it. It's just part of growing up. So
it is what it is.
I
love how you said that, because I think that's my motivation with these conversations too, is to really help come around and support these moms and girls where this is not scary and this is not overwhelming, and really just allow and help create families where you can have open communication. You know, like if you have a daughter, she will have a period. I mean, I think I can confidently say that, right?
Right. Yes.
So if you have a daughter, she will have a period, and you don't want this to be a painfully awkward, embarrassing conversation with her. Now, is it going to be fun? Probably not. But can this be a topic that you start engaging with at a young age? Yes. And so the long answer Mary Flo just gave about the lining and the eggs, I think that's really important to hear. And then I think as you're sitting here listening, you know, pull from that and like, what are some words? Okay. Oh, wow. I couldn't say all of that. That's fine. What are some phrases you could say comfortably, or knowing your own child and their age? Okay. You know what? I'm not going to dive into all that, but I can start by saying, mommy's bleed. Start with that. Or, you know what? I feel like I've already said that a couple of times, so I might start introducing the idea of eggs. Maybe I'll add that to this next conversation that we have. And so again, like what we always try to do with these birds and bees conversations is drip by drip by drip. And talking about periods as a whole is little by little giving them this information and letting them know that this is just something that happens to every woman.
Exactly. And you know, some people say that periods are starting a little bit earlier. I'm not sure if that's factually true. I think they're starting a little bit younger. But I don't think it's super dramatic, but I think you need to be prepared to have some of these conversations when they're a little bit younger, even if they're not starting their periods, because maybe some of their friends might be starting their periods. Or let's say your daughter is a camper and she goes off to camp. Well, she's going to be in a cabin with older girls, with counselors, and they might be having their periods. So what you want to do is for it not to be a startling amount of information. You want to have already said, yeah, my mom kind of told me about this. So just be prepared that even though your child may not be starting their period, be aware that once they turn 9 or 10, they'll have friends that might be starting their periods. So,
right. And I think that's what we want to do, is just create kind of open communication. And I have a girl and two boys. And so I grew up in a home with only sisters. So I think it's going to be interesting to navigate this family of mine, you know, with boys and girls all together, you know. And I think in a way it's helpful for both of them, the boys and my daughter, to be around each other as we're doing this whole growing up activities together. But as having boys, being a mom of boys, that's what I'm trying to say, is I think it's also important for them to know what a period is.
Absolutely. I think that's so true.
I want to raise thoughtful, empathetic boys. And who will one day be thoughtful, empathetic husbands and dads. And so I don't want them to think that periods are something we don't speak of, or it's just a bad word, or it's so embarrassing, or all that. They don't need to know, you know, all the nitty gritty details by any means, but like, I don't want them to think it's a bad word. There's this story I came across, I guess, a year or two ago, and I shared it on Instagram, and I don't know if you saw it or not, but
it bears repeating. Love it.
And so I'm going to do a quick recap of this story from my memory. So
yes,
here we go. okay. But there's this school bus situation, and this little girl, not little girl, probably like, I don't know, 12-year-old, is on the school bus, and she starts her period and she doesn't know it. So she like stands up to get to her seat. And this boy behind her, who's, I guess, a year older, says, "Hey, you have something on the back of your pants. You can use my sweatshirt if you want to cover it up." And she's mortified, of course, because this is like your worst nightmare as a preteen. And so she's mortified. She goes, "No, it's okay. It's okay." Like looking away, just trying to be anywhere but there. And this young boy says, "Oh no, take it. It's okay. I have sisters." And so she takes a sweatshirt, ties it around her waist and sits down, gets off the bus, tells her mom the situation. And the mom is the one who shared this story, and it went viral, because I think as a mom of boys, and even as a mom of girls, I just hear that story. I think, oh, that's what we want to do. Like, that's the kind of kids we want to raise.
Is exactly.
Kid who is so, as a 13-year-old boy, can look at something like that, and instead of being like, oh, gross, like, whatever a 13-year-old boy would normally do. Just like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. Okay, she must feel embarrassed. Here, take my sweatshirt.
And I just want to go find that mom, his mom, say, okay, how did you teach him this? What did you walk through with him that he would understand that and not do the normal, you know, 13-year-old freak out thing? I don't know, but my hat's off to her.
Yeah. Well, sure. Round of applause to that mother out there, whoever you are, but you have inspired us all. And I think ultimately when we think of these conversations, sometimes we have to think about, okay, what's our end goal with these conversations? If we want to raise boys like that, if we want to raise girls who aren't going to be mortified to tell us as moms they started their period or whatnot, then let's back that up and let's keep going backwards until we get to age 3 or 4 or 5, when they're asking lots of little questions and they're around us all the time. Well, how can we really cultivate those little curious years to set on a path where we can have empathetic, open conversations with our kids? And so I think periods is a really great topic that we can start when they're young. And
exactly.
These are just little by little conversations, drip by drip by drip.
And the tone, you know, what was the tone in that family that allowed him to be both respectful to this girl that he didn't know and compassionate and, you know, just have an understanding of what this situation was. So you're exactly right. So that tone starts when they're young, and it starts really without a lot of all the fear built into it, but instead, you know, just a sympathetic ear, you know,
right,
just listening to your children, knowing, okay, this doesn't sound like fun. I hear you, but it's just part of life. It just is what it is. So,
right. And to be medical and matter of fact, I think those are just really helpful words to keep in mind as you're having these conversations, medical, matter of fact, and move on.
Yes.
And then especially with little bitties.
I'm going to throw something in here too, because when you think your daughter is close to having her period, you can talk to your pediatrician about that. Like, give me a heads up. Let me know because they can start to sort of track some other developments in their life to kind of give you a heads up that she's probably close to having her period. She's within a year or so. And so be in close contact with your pediatrician, just, or, you know, certainly ask the question. And when you think she's getting close to that age, I think it's a really good idea to introduce her to all the products, you know, just to go, you go on your own to the drugstore, get all the pads and tampons, get a variety of things and lose the mystery of that. Bring them home, have a private time with your daughter to explain, okay, we don't know exactly when your period's going to start, but you're probably within a few months. So I want you to be sure that you have all of these products on hand, not just for you, but maybe if your friends are over here and they have their period, we'll have plenty of things for them too. And don't just put the box down, but open it up and show them how, if they're going to wear a pad, how it attaches to their underwear, show them the instructions on the tampons, and just say, I think you'll be able to handle this on your own, but I'll be around if you have questions, you know, just go through it with them. So that, and then put it in a special place in the bathroom where they can easily find it and feel like, okay, if my period starts, I know where everything is. And I just think that's a good thing, that you don't have to go into this panic mode. Mom, I started my period,
right,
and there's nothing in the house. That's not helpful. We know this is coming. So,
well, and just like with all of these conversations, it's always helpful, whether you're talking about body changes or if they see, you know, a pornographic image or whatever the scary topic is, I think it's our job as parents to go before them and to kind of preempt these situations. And so if they do happen, they know what to do. And their initial thought is like, oh, this is what my mom told me, or this is what my dad said would happen, or whatever the situation is. And so for periods, you definitely want to be talking to them about this before they start their period. Now, hopefully some of you listening have children way before the period starting years.
Yes.
You have a long leash ahead of you to start these conversations. Now, if you are listening and you have like a 9 or 10-year-old-ish kind of entering the tween years, 11, 12, a resource we really recommend is this book called The Care and Keeping of Me. Care and Keeping of You, I think.
Care and Keeping of You.
Mm-hmm. And it's by Dr. Kara Natterson, and she is the pediatrician on board with the American Girl brand. And so the same company that makes the Precious Dolls also has a big umbrella of products, and they have this really great book. And it's I mean, once your daughter's at that age, I would say around 10, it's a great, really great book for them to have to read kind of on their own. And then for you to kind of engage with them about that, you know, like, hey, let's talk about chapter one, or let's talk about this. There's a lot of changes coming up for you and for all your friends. And some people are going to, you know, go through these changes sooner. Some are going to go through them later, but I just want you to hear from me, kind of what to expect, so we can like talk through any questions. So again, you're just kind of preempting these situations, and kind of going ahead of them. But that is a resource yes. that we think is really great.
We do think it's great, but with all our resources, and Megan and I say this all the time, you be sure and read it first, because you just never know if there's something in there that you actually kind of disagree with and you want to put it differently. It doesn't mean that your child can't read the book, but you'll want to point out, you know, this one thing on this page is bothersome to me, and here's why. Or, but the rest of the book I think is just great, because she deals with a lot of kind of grooming ideas and just how body odor, you know, just all the things that are changing about their bodies. So she's very frank and upfront. And I think it's a great book. I've personally read it. I think it's wonderful. But as with all resources, if you're handing them to your children, I think, especially on these topics, it's a good idea for you to read it first.
Yes, totally agree. And I think that that goes, you know, they have a boy version, just in case you're also a boy mom out there listening, called Guy Stuff. And it's very similar. And these are great puberty books. So I know we're kind of jumping all over the place with ages. But I would recommend both of those books, Guy Stuff and The Care and Keeping of You, for children that are like getting close to 10 or 11. And then both with both genders, I think it's always important to kind of give the opposite gender the heads up of what's going on. With the opposite gender. Sorry, I messed up those words. But basically, like, if you have a daughter, kind of give them a heads up. And like, boys go through a lot of changes too, so let's be empathetic to them. Or like, girls are going through a lot of changes too, son. So let's be empathetic to all the, you know, everyone's going through a lot of changes around here. We can be kind and careful with our words and, you know, all these things. So, but to bring it back on down to those sweet itty bitties, because puberty seems scary to some, to some moms.
There's a reason. Yeah. There's a reason why we don't look back on those middle school pre-puberty years. There's never a middle school reunion. You know, you just don't want to go back there.
We're going to back it up a bit to that five-year-old that's looking at mom's purse and it's, well, what is that, mommy? Or, you know, or walking in on you in the bathroom or whatnot. Just to kind of recap, we want to remind you to engage in these conversations. Okay. Don't shut it down by saying, put that back in mom's purse or go away. Now, privacy is always a lovely luxury. So if you can say, you know, close the door and mommy's going to explain everything when I get back out, that's appropriate. You don't have to like invite them in for a conversation. So you can say, please go away. Mommy's going to come out and explain it to you. But you want to engage in these conversations, you know, oh, well, you just found a mommy's purse. That's actually called a pad. And that's like a Band-Aid for mommies. And again, the overall hope with lots of these conversations, kind of all things birds and bees, is that eventually this will not be your first conversation about periods, and it won't be your last conversation about periods. So if you feel like you just explained a teeny tiny bit, you think, oh, you know, maybe she's ready for more information. We'll do that the next time. You know, these don't need to be huge, dramatic, sit down conversations like today, I want to talk to you about periods, you know, little by little, drip by drip. So when there are these curious little questions coming at you at age five, engage in those conversations and use it as, you know, kind of building a foundation is what we're hoping you can do.
Exactly. And some children are curious, some are not. So some you're going to engage, some you're not. And that's just the nature of your family. That's going to be true on almost every topic in your family. So don't worry about it. Just take it at their pace. But if you feel like they need more information because they're coming to an age where they need more information, then don't hesitate to initiate those conversations yourself.
Right.
Because both are good. And it's not either or, it's both.
Totally agree. So hopefully this has been helpful for you and taken away some of the fear or panic you might have felt when your 4 or 5-year-old son or daughter found something special in your purse. our hope is that now you feel a little bit more prepared and okay, I can handle this. I can do this.
Okay. You've got periods.
Yeah.
They're exactly. Normal.
That's very true. Okay. So I think that's all we have to say about that. Period. I'm trying to think of a better period pun, but I'm afraid that's all I got.
We're done. Period.
We're done. Period.